Welcome to A Woman's Brew, where women talk about beer. In today's episode, we're talking flagship favourites and frothy foundations as we crack into core ranges and navigate where they sit within the scene for newcomers into craft. I'm Joanne, and this is Tori.
Hello, hello.
And we're two beer-loving women on a mission to get more people drinking and talking about great beer. Come join us. All right, my voice is just about back now.
It's been quite a while as well. So, you were probably more ill than you even realised you were ill. Yeah. Because, I think I said to you something like, "Oh, well, you're not feeling well," or something. You were like, "Yeah, but it's from shouting and this and that." And I was like, "Is it though?" And then you were like, "Yeah, it is." But your voice is still gone. That is not just from shouting.
No, I'm now wondering if this is partially hay fever. And allergies,
because thank this time you of year,
it's like the yellow oilseed rape flowers are out there and there's huge fields of it around me at the minute. That always sets me off. It's like there's some tree pollen that comes out around about March time. That always sets me off. So
that thank you wasn't because I was like, I'm really happy, thank you for like bringing the pollen. That thank you was because I have been itching my eyeballs out for the last few days. Like, the fact I've even got eyeliner on at the moment I feel naked without my eyeliner, so I like have to, so I just put up with it when I've got to go out. But like, honestly, awful. Like, I've been itching my eyeballs out and I feel like my glands are like insane, and that's also partially probably because I'm run down and I'm tired. But also I was like, I remember seeing something the other day that was like the pollen count is high, and I was like, oh, and I kind of just put it away in the back of my head and was like, that's fine. But I've not really like left the house when I haven't had to. And then over the weekend, I was like, it doesn't matter because we're opening the doors now because it's getting nicer out. It's getting lovely out. So we're opening the doors so Phelan can take herself in and out. And then I'm like itching my eyeballs out. And I was thinking, I feel like the hay fever is still like, it's coming back and the pollen count is high. And I Googled it and where I am, it is high. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, that's at least that makes me feel a bit better. Like, I'm not just like,
you're
my body's not just crumbling.
It's really happening. Spring hay fever time.
Spring. Welcome to spring. And this is also how you can tell that we're recording this like more in real time as well. Yeah. This isn't even a backlogged item. Like, look at us go.
Yeah. So today we've had a little chunk of beers that we've been hanging on to for the right moment. Today is that day, dear listeners. So while I was in the US, which was September, I picked up a mix pack of Alaskan Brewing Co. beers, which I was very excited about because Alaskan Brewing Co. was some of the first beers that, like, they were at the beginning of my craft beer journey. I drank a lot of Alaskan Amber when I was in Alaska on cruise ships, and they actually had Alaskan beer on the ship and available in the crew bar. So nice. That was, you know, that was a big deal for us. It wasn't Corona. It wasn't Heineken.
I thought you were going to say something more about, like, it was the fact that it wasn't Corona. And I was like, what is going on? And I thought you were going to take that down the virus route, not the beer route.
The beer route. We're still on beers here. So it wasn't Corona. It wasn't Heineken. When Alaskan Amber in particular came into the crew bar, we were happy, happy people. So I bought these beers and I brought them back to share with Tori because I was like, these beers were part of my craft beer journey. And so,
also, time out, hang on, let's be real as well. This was ticking off. This ticked off one of your end of year.
It didn't
year
though, because
goals,
I didn't drink
it?
Them.
No. But it was to buy a mixed pack, not to drink a mixed pack.
No, you
pack.
Had to drink a beer.
Oh, wasn't the drinking
drink one
it?
Beer out of every box, and I couldn't because we didn't drink it. So instead, I drank eight beers from Good Chemistry instead. That was my backup. So I did that instead. Yeah, because you made me leave this so long.
Hang on a minute.
We haven't scheduled this episode.
I made you do this.
Because you work out what we're doing when.
Excuse me. Excuse me. It is a mutual agreement.
You're the scheduler and the writer, and I'm the editor.
Okay. All right, everyone. Take that. I'll let you have that one. I'll let you have that one.
This is how we divide up the work.
Just know that that comment's going in the back of the brain for some point in the future when you go, and I wanted to say, I go, oh, no, no, Joe.
No, no, no.
No, 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 no. Bye. No, 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 no. This was a mutual lack of scheduling.
Anyway, so we thought we'd talk a little bit about Alaskan beers because they make me very excited. And we might look at core ranges.
Yeah, we thought we'd have a bit of a chit-chat about core ranges in general, and that's just going to lead probably quite nicely just into, I thought we could talk about, like, what makes a good core range.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to create, like, a rating out of five, like, if you were rating core ranges, like, what would be as part of that rating system? And that will lead nicely into as well, like, what... I thought we could just have a general chat as well about, for a lot of us, core ranges were sort of the entry level into craft beer or our foundation. So I thought we could talk about sort of our foundations in craft and then sort of what do we think about sort of what it must be like for somebody new into craft at the moment and where their foundations might sort of lie there. So I think it'll all flow quite nicely and figure it out. Or we'll just spend a whole time talking about why you love Alaskan rings so much and your favorite core range and why is it Alaskan?
I mean, I guess it is because I was like, what about Sam Adams?
I feel like you talk about Alaskan a lot.
I do, but I think, do you know, so this is the reason why I talk about Alaskan so often. It's because you can't get it.
Do you think there's some sort of, like, there's a fonder memory? But I was having a think about this because I listened to other podcasts, and some of the other podcasts that I was talking about were talking about, like, food and stuff like that, and they always have sort of fond memories of things that you can't get anymore. So do you think it'll be interesting to see, we'll crack it open in a sec, but do you think that there's some level of, like, it's the fondest memory because I can't recreate that? And if you were to go back to Alaska with the palette that you have now, would you be like, for the first time, like, you've never had it before, would you be like, this is my favorite thing ever? I mean, you might, but do you think part of it is because that was a very specific memory in your brain?
It's probably a little bit of both, really, because, you know, it is that, like, we often talk about beer as the experience, and sometimes the reason that you love something is because of the people that you shared it with and the memories that you have with it. And that's definitely part of it. But also, I think there's some beers now in Alaska that I would have a very different opinion about because I've built my palate up. And actually, I'd be like, oh, like, there's some beers that I'd like to go back and try again and really like, because at the time I wasn't necessarily picking apart the flavors and working all of that out. And I would love to do that now. Like, that's where I first had Spruce beers.
Oh.
So I'd love to, like, retaste those now that we've had different Spruce beers from over here. You know, Alaskan do a smoked porter.
Oh, that's
which
amazing.
I liked it, but I reckon now I'd have even more of an appreciation for it. Like, yeah, there's, and like, there you have.
Ah, that's interesting, because that's the opposite end of the spectrum as well, of, like, not just going, oh, here is something that I really liked because I had a really good fond memory of it, but also here's something that I didn't dislike, but it wouldn't have stuck in my memory as, like, a lasting, amazing favorite beer. But actually, with the beers that you enjoy now, you'd go back and go, actually, really, really, I feel like I underappreciated that at the time. That's an interesting way to do it, because I don't think I've ever thought about beers in that way.
Yeah, and because they use different interesting, like, fruits and ingredients. So, like, fireweed is something they
fireweed.
Use.
Fireweed?
Yeah. What's
that?
And, you know, I couldn't tell you, but I had a beer with it in and I was like, this is interesting. But I feel like now with my expanded palate, I could probably describe it better and really get to grips with what that flavor actually is and what it adds to the beer. Like, there's, you know, they use different things that grow in the Alaskan wilderness in not just Alaskan brewing beers, but other breweries over there do really interesting things. So
I feel like that's just a badass name though. Fireweed.
Yeah. They also had a black IPA that I never managed to get hold of, so shake a fist. Wish I
wonder. I wonder how the Bipper comeback over there is going at Alaskan Brewery. But yeah, well, should we just get into this then, and we can talk more, or we can talk all about it if you want afterwards, but I just want to get your reaction, because I feel like this is going to be, because you've even held off having the extra can that you had because you wanted this to be your genuine reaction.
Yeah, I felt quite strongly about the fact that I shouldn't drink this, I shouldn't drink Alaskan Amber until we were recording, so that it records my true feelings about tasting it again for the first time. I'm slightly nervous. Like, what if it's not as good as I remember it being?
Oh, yeah. And to be fair, like, they've been here for, like, it's not like you just bought them.
They're not fresh.
They're not fresh.
they're not fresh, guys.
I think this is going to be my goal, my 2025 goals. I'm saying this now, my 2025 goals, like, for the podcast and for us and for me is, like, when we're deciding what we're going to do episodes on, we are not, but I think we get really excited. We go, this could be an episode and this is great. And it's also a great justification to buy beers. And then what happens is we like buy beers and then another set comes out and then we end up having too many sets of beers to record and not enough time to record. Yeah. And then people want to talk to us.
And and that's more
we want to talk to people and And so it just doesn't get recorded. Travel for work, travel for life.
On top of, though, our managing our beer stash stuff that we try and do.
Well, that's why I have the beer stash that I have those, because I go, here's the podcasting. But then these are also really interesting and I just want to have these. But I never manage to drink the quote unquote these that I buy because I'm always focused on the podcast ones and prioritizing those. Well, anyway, let's crack into this. Without further ado, I want your reaction.
All right, drum roll, people. Let's see whether this actually lives up.
Great.
So I actually look back at my check-in for this on Untappd and I only gave it a 4 out of 5.
Do you think that you were rating harsher at the time though?
I mean, possibly.
At what point in your beer drinking did you start to use Untappd? Like, was it early on? Or, like, how did you find out about Untappd? That's like kind of separate question to everything.
This is a completely separate whole issue. This is a whole different story.
Should we save this whole conversation for a different time?
No, I can do it now. I think let's do the beer first.
Okay.
Because already it smells amazing. Oh, caramelly.
I was going to say it smells like toffee. Like, I don't feel like it's, like, there's nothing about it that, you know, sometimes if something sits in a can too long, you kind of start going, oh, no. This doesn't have anything metallic about it.
I feel like it's got a little bit of herbally hop spice about it.
I'm getting very heavily, like, caramel toffee for me. Maybe a slight dried fruit.
A lovely, clear amber. It's got a nice...
Sure is.
Foamy tan head on it.
Mine did have a nice head on that.
Right. Are you ready?
Right. I'm going to wait and withhold mine because I don't even want it influenced by mistake.
I'm going in, guys. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. It's good. I think the thing about this is, right, it's a similar, let's think about this in terms of Sam Adams, right? Sam Adams was my first beer that really got me going, ooh, I want to drink more beers. It's a similar colour. I think it's got almost a similar flavour profile. Sam Adams is a bit more toasty and less sweetness. And I always think, like, I've seen what the recipes and stuff are for Sam Adams, but I'm pretty sure they put something like a little bit of rye in it because there feels like there's a little bit of spiciness to it. And this doesn't have that, which makes it very drinkable. It's malty.
I was going to say, it doesn't taste like Sam Adams.
It doesn't taste like Sam Adams, but I think it's like, it's malty and lovely and delicious. And that's what I loved about Sam Adams. And then I had this and was like, oh, yeah, there's more like that. That's
there's
fun.
Similarities. There's enough similarities that for you, that was the next step, but also a branch out into something slightly different. And yeah, I do think this is quite like, it has that sweetness to it. And there's almost like a little bit of a mouth coating element to it where it's not like, I wouldn't say syrupy because it's not like thick like that, but it is that sort of mouth coating element to that sweetness as well.
I think I was harsh. It's definitely more than a 4 out of 5.
I don't know. I'm always just really bad with rating things. So it's hard for me to say. I don't like doing the rating of beers. I always feel like it's really hard to go in like not biased in some way, shape or form. And especially, do you ever have a situation where you like buy one and you're like, oh, the person that I was having this conversation with that I bought the beer from. I was like, really super nice. And then already I'm jazzed, like, and maybe they really liked the beer, and already I'm jazzed about having this beer because that person has really, really enjoyed it. And then you're a bit like, oh, I like it, but I don't know where to rate it. And then all of a sudden you go, well, oh, it's sitting between this and this, so I'll go slightly higher up because that person was really nice. And like, I feel like sometimes it's really hard to get at, for me, it's hard to get completely unbiased ratings.
If I feel like I'm trying to rate it to be nice to a person, I keep my rating to myself and don't put it on Untappd.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
That's a good way.
Because sometimes I'm like, that's my personal opinion and I don't feel like anybody else needs to know that. Although, I said this to you in a text the other day, I've got to be very careful about what I post now, because I've discovered that people are actually looking at what I post on Untappd.
And oh, I've definitely had
conversations. Their beer purchases, and I was like, sorry, what?
I've definitely had conversations with people about what I've rated something on Untappd and stuff, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
This is a whole separate conversation that I know nobody really likes talking about Untappd, and that's why I've gotten fed up with the whole Untappd side of things. That I just feel like half the time I don't rate it, or I just rate it, and sometimes I am too generous because I'm just rating it based on like, I really liked it this moment, I really liked it, I really enjoyed it, whatever. But sometimes I do feel like I just can't even be bothered to rate it. I just want to check in that I had it so I know I've had it. I wish that there was a way to do like, I wish that it was like Untappd was like thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs in the middle. Like, it was just fine. Yeah. Like, I feel neutral about it.
Yeah.
Or like maybe varying levels. Like, I wish it was out of like, I wish that it was like a sliding scale of like, I guess you could do that with like 1 to 5, but like, I wish like 5 was like double, like really loved, awesome.
Right.
What, you know, then you've got like the 1 thumbs up that's like enjoyed, you know, the middle, which is like neutral, not really that fussed about it. The slightly more like 1 thumb down, and you just go, oh, wasn't the best, but it's definitely, I'm not going to go talk, like, I'm not going to preach about hatred of it. And then there's the 2 thumbs down that's like, I want to let everyone know this is garbage.
Yeah, don't drink this. Don't drink it.
And then that's the no rating, which is just, I don't want to have an opinion on this, so I'm keeping it to myself.
That's a problem with Untappd though, isn't it? Because everyone's scale is slightly different.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The way that people, and that's why.
100%, no, 100%. But that's how I wish that it was like the thumbs up, thumbs down rating scale, because that would be easier to me than like 1 to 5 when you also have 0.25, 0.5, 0.75. I'm like, oh, fuck's sake. Like, how? Certain things, I'm like, how do I even go about rating it? But this is not an episode about Untappd stores, about core rating.
I'm happy. I really like it. It's making me happy.
Is it all the best of your memories?
Yeah, and I just want to point out that so Sam Adams is a Vienna lager. This is actually an alt style ale, which is this is an ale, not a lager. So it's slightly different, obviously. But like back in the day, I didn't know anything about beer styles. I was just like, that's that beer, and that's nice, and that's nice.
I think ambers have never been like my favorite, and I mean, when in a minute about our favorite styles, it will be really clear what I have historically really loved and not loved. I think may surprise you, like it might be how much of that might be surprising to you, I don't know, but we'll see. Some of it might be, and some of it might be like, oh, that's an obvious. But like, yeah, amber for me was never. I was never massive. I enjoy this. I enjoy this, and I would drink like. I'm happy drinking it, but for me it's not like, I almost would rather have that breadiness of just like a log, like just a straight up lager,
yeah,
than the toffee notes and stuff that I'm getting from it. Like, I like toffee, I like those elements, but I always find that it's just not my favorite style out of everything. I'd have it and I would order it off a menu compared to like some other, like if a menu was all just pales and hazies, I'd probably go for this because it's something that's a little bit different and more interesting comparatively. But like, it's never been my favorite style by any means, but I quite enjoy this. I think it's nice, it's drinkable, it's really drinkable. I can totally see how this would make a core range beer.
Like, as I'm thinking back to my formative beer years, I'm realizing why I like certain beers and why I don't like other ones or why they're not my favourites. Because, like, this is just, can I just say that this is like bringing back memories of sitting in the sun in Alaska. Yes, Alaska does have sun.
At the right times of year, yeah.
Outside, like, outside this great pizza place we used to go to, like, American pint of this in a shaker pint glass before I knew anything about beer glasses, like, with an amazing pizza and all my mates, looking out at, like, snowy mountains, thinking about going for a, you know, we might wander out and have a little hike and take some other interesting beers with us. Good times, man. Good times.
How much of it is, like, for your rating? So you said, like, it would definitely not be a four now. Like, what would you give this now on Untappd if you were rating it now on Untappd? If people are going to your Untappd after this, what are they going to see you rating it?
So I've been, what I've been doing lately is I find that I, if I really like something, I tend to give it, unless it's, like, phenomenal, I tend to give it a 4.75. But I'm also sitting, thinking there, and I'm like, I think somebody said this to me the other week, what is stopping it from being a five?
Oh, yeah, okay, that's good.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm thinking about it, and I think it would be a 4.75 because the way that I drink beer nowadays, this feels, it's got like a fair amount of carbonation on it, and that sweetness is probably quite filling.
Yeah.
So I don't think like I could drink a huge amount of it. Not like I could, you know, a lager or something. So it would probably be 4.75. Just because you couldn't drink a huge amount of it.
Are you looking forward to the other can of it, though?
No, I am looking forward. I'm going to drink that on my birthday. Happy birthday to me. but I'm edging fairly towards giving it a five.
That's, I do feel like maybe I give fives and stuff too easily, but I definitely, we've talked about it before, I definitely rate based on, like, if I enjoy some, like, if I just enjoy it versus if it doesn't match the style perfectly, I'm like, yeah, but if, did I enjoy it?
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, did I enjoy it enough to make it a memory? The way I kind of approach the rating as well is like, is it something that sticks out in my mind as memorable enough that if somebody asked me what I had to drink in the last month, not that I rate everything this way, because if you're drinking a lot, I like a beer festival or something, that's a bit different, but like, will it stick out in my memory in the last 30 days as something that I remember having and I really enjoyed? Like, I know I've had the Neon Raptor Fruit Rascals and I've had two different cans. I've had the Fruit Rascals numerous times, and I've had the Yummy Yummy Fruit Salad one numerous times. And we had the Fudge one, and the Fudge one was nice. Like, I specifically remember those Neon Raptor ones recently and the S'mores one that they did. Like, I can say out of all the beers that I had, like, those ones were 100% on my mind. So, yeah, that's kind of how I go about thinking about it, to be fair.
Yeah. This is definitely not the conversation we thought we were going to have
today. No, this is slightly veered from the conversation that we thought we were going to have, but yeah, it is still here. But yeah, I mean, I guess, where do you think, like, what makes a good core range for you?
I think you've got to think about drinkability. I think you've got to have, like, I think you need a good range of styles. You don't want too many.
I was going to say, how many is too many? Like, how many do you think is, like, in a good core range?
I mean,
range?
I think a core range should be 3 to 4 beers, right?
That's solid. That seems solid.
I think they should be different styles. I mean, ideal. I think ideal core range is probably some form of IPA, some form of lager, some form of stout or porter or darker beer. Maybe, like, in my perfect world, something with fruit in it. But also, you've then got to think about saleability.
Yeah.
Darker beers, fruit beers are difficult to shift. So have make of that what you will.
See, I feel like I could see the argument for between 4 to 6 for a core range, but I think anything more than 6 feels way too much. Yeah. I think it depends on the size of the brewery. Like, the smaller they are, the less, the smaller amount you expect, but the bigger they are, the more sort of they can turn out and produce more. Like, so we were talking about this the other day, again, slightly separate shift, but I was telling you about me planning trip to the US, whatever, and I was saying about how many just what I feel is quite common in North America comparatively to over here is like so many of these tap rooms and breweries have like 15 to 20 plus tap lines, and that is like so normal, just so normal. And this is like, I was looking at some of the stuff that's like, oh, our tap list of our beers or blah 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 blah. And when we did our design your tap room, we were talking about how like, oh, we wouldn't want to have too many tap lines because that's got to be a pain to manage and shift and everything. Like, what I've found from being in the US and just looking up the places I want to go to in the US on my next trip is like, that is so common to have an insane amount of tap lines from where I've gone.
Is that, though, because of the weird American rules about how you can't ship beer across
potentially
states?
Yeah.
So that's like, so, you know, where I think brewers here in the UK have really discovered since lockdown that you really need an outlet for your beer where you are selling your beer directly to the public. So you need a tap room or you need a bar, because then you know that, you know, a certain percentage of your beer is going straight to market. And if in America, the brewers can't, like, we can, you know, we know Neon Raptor down here because pubs down here have had, you know, I've seen tap rooms down here with Neon Raptor on. I've had it in Kent on draft. Like, in the US, that's not necessarily possible because they can't send stuff across states and things like that. So
yeah,
they have that range because they've got to put it out to market through their own tap room.
They can't. It's weird because they can't just ship. Like, you couldn't order as a consumer direct from the brewery, but they can obviously. It's all very specific rules. Depends on the state. Depends on all that. And I don't know the specifics, but yeah, it's so overcomplicated. Yeah, like if you watch the video, you see it.
I know why they did it. Like, I know that the logistics of it. If you don't know about this,
just
listeners,
ridiculous.
It's complicated. I'm not going to go into it. Go Google the 3-tier system.
So dumb
of beer distribution in the US, and go look at it. But I know it started because of, like, one of the reasons it started is because there were big pub co's over here that were managing to kind of monopolize everything. So they wanted to stop that and make it easier, air quotes, for breweries to be able to flourish. But now there's just stupid things about how you can't get it across state lines because of individual rules.
It's a whole thing. But like, that being said, like, obviously you can buy from shops, you know, within sort of that radius, and I think it's probably difficult for people over here to think about it, because like your example is spot on, but also like in the US you're talking like 3 hours drive from here to, from where I am to Neon Raptor, roughly.
Yeah.
3 hours drive just gets me to a different part of
the same state.
I can go to Western Mass in like 3 hours. So yeah, so it's probably a bit harder for some people to kind of envision that. But like, yeah, it's the whole thing. And I'm sure that probably plays into it. But also I just think like there's this expectation for, I also think there's more of a drive maybe of those like really small local cultures of buying beer. I don't know. It's a whole thing. It's quite interesting. But I think in a bigger brewery where you are easily going 20 tap lines of all my beers, like I could see how you could do a core range of like up to 6, but I feel like more than 6 is just too much. And the way I see that is like lager, like you said, stout or porter, so like maybe
IPA
some type
pale
of sour or a fruited sour,
yeah,
something that you said that has fruit in it, and then you've got an IPA, a pale ale, and then the 6th one being either another IPA or pale ale, because that is, or a non-alcohol,
it's
or
what the people want to drink,
or you know, but yeah, so that's like I think. So what about size of cans? Like, I feel like if you're buying beers, core range beers, what do you think of like the ideal size of cans for your core range beers?
I mean, I suppose it depends on what you're using them for. Like, if we're thinking about fridge fillers and things, then, you know, 330 or 440, one or the other. Like, I'm an advocate for smaller portions.
Yes, same.
Personally, so 330 is probably fine. But I know most people will be like, no, 440.
Yeah, I think I would say, like, do they have my judging factors would be like, do they have a variation? Like, what size packs do they sell them in as well? Like, I feel like over here, a 4 or 6 pack would be nice, but we don't really get 6 packs. We get like four packs. We tend to get them in if you went to like a supermarket. Yeah.
Or like it's like a big pack. Like,
well, like a 24. Like
yeah, 12 or a 24.
12 or 24, yeah. I feel like a four or six would, like a six would do me nicely of stuff like this. Because sometimes you're having people around and you want to share it. You're like, four's not enough. 12 is too many. Six feels good. But yeah, I think, yeah, there's definitely like a need, I feel like, for some of these core ranges as well, for those fridge fillers and having that selection. So, yeah, it's interesting that the Alaskan, what else is in the Alaskan mix pack? So should we go into another one?
Yeah, should we grab another one?
Next one we got.
Pilsner.
It's literally just called Pilsner.
It's literally just called Pilsner.
I like the artwork on the can though, if you're watching the video.
So I really like their artwork. Should we pour this and then I'll tell you a little bit about Alaskan?
Oh, please do.
I'll tell you about my experience of it. 12 years ago now, I just realised. It was the last time I was there.
Believe.
I cannot. Oh, is yours foamy?
Not massively. I think it's a perfect amount. Look at that. Look at that. No. Mine's lovely.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yours is all foam.
No. We're gonna wait for mine a little bit.
She all foam.
Karma boots. She's a little bit foamy. Yeah, so Alaskan Brewing Co. is in Juneau, which is the capital of Alaska. Is that the capital of Alaska? Am I
Yeah, that? I think you are correct. you're asking me like the actual American, and I'm like, yeah, I think so.
It is. No, it is. I think people think Anchorage.
No, might be, but it is Juneau.
So they started in 1986 and were started by Marcy and Jeff Larson, who were 28 years old. And they started it in Juneau, and it was the 67th independent brewery in the country.
Oh.
And the first brewery in Juneau since Prohibition.
Oh, wow.
In 1986.
That's a big one.
Right. So I've had...
Did you say Prohibition in 1986? Or do they have a...
Prohibition.
Right.
since Prohibition. So, like, you know, like Prohibition was what, the 30s?
20s,
30s?
Yeah.
So... 20s. There hadn't been any breweries in Juneau, Alaska, since then until 1986 when they started.
I thought you said their prohibition, like post-86. No. And I was like, did they have a separate prohibition?
No.
Well, I don't know. There are places in like Canada and stuff where they did, I think it was Canada, where they have like no drinking zones just because it's dark like, all the time.
I stayed in a county in Texas, that was a dry county, and we had to drive over the county border to go buy beer and bring it back. That was fine.
Ooh. Well, don't worry, guys, there's no prohibition in Alaska. No.
So I found an interesting fact.
Oh, fun.
While researching brewing in Alaska, Marcy found shipping records from Douglas City Brewing Co., which was around from 1899 to 1907. And it listed the ingredients for their popular beer and a news article that described the way that they brewed it. So Jeff took that information, homebrewed a batch of the Gold Rush era brew, and they could see, like, they sold it and it was super popular. That beer.
This one, Jeff.
is Alaskan Amber.
Hey! That makes sense now with the Gold Rush. Oh yeah, it's got like a boat on it as well, so that,
yeah,
that's good.
So yeah, all of their cans have got like Alaskan scenes on them, which is lovely. So there, I believe the brewery is a touch bigger than when I was there 12 years ago, but when I went, it was like the brewery and then a little space out the front where they had fridges where you could buy beer and like a tiny little bar that you could get some beers from from the tour, because they'd bus you from the centre of Juneau out to the brewery, do a little tour, and then bus you back again. I believe it's bigger now because they actually have a tasting room there, but there's a glacier out the back,
or just a casual glacier,
like, and that's where they get their water from.
The glacier
from the glacier, yeah. So it's made from, you know, really good glacier water. that's why their beers are so tasty, because they've got like super pure water. They're also a brewery that's very like interested in sustainability and the environment and things like that. And I think that's a big thing in Alaska, because it like Alaska is known for its like wilderness and beauty and its nature. And like, for example, when we were going up there on the cruise ships, in other places we used to be able to, like, not chemicals, not recycling, not things like that, but you could dump into the water a certain amount of miles outside of the coast. Like, they would like grind up all of our like food waste into like fish food size pieces.
Oh, wow.
And they could drop it into the ocean. You could not do that in Alaska, because like it, there was always conversations about like, you know, like people are smoking outside and they think they're going to flick their butt over the,
yeah,
over the side of the ship, whatever. I mean, they're told not to do that because it can get drawn back into the ship and cause a fire anyway. But like, if they found that anyone was throwing rubbish or anything off the side of the ship, you could get fined a ridiculous amount of money, because they're trying to preserve the beauty and the nature of Alaska. Like, it was super important.
But I feel like that's important anyway. That's just, yeah, like, it's important. That goes, I mean, by like, just important. Don't be a dick. Like, if I saw somebody flicking a cigarette butt over the side, I'd be like,
you look like an asshole. People throwing like bits out of the car windows, like the people are just dicks.
I walked by a guy yesterday that was parked on my road, which, bear in mind, my road's a dead end road, and he was parked like at the end where you go into the road, like across my house. I think he was probably like delivering something, or because he definitely didn't live on the road or anything. He had packages in the back of his car, and he's just like loudly on the phone in his car, windows down, and having a conversation, and then just loudly, and then just throwing stuff out the window as I was taking the dog out. And I was literally just like, why are you throwing your rubbish out the window? And then he had the audacity to mean mug me. Like, I was weird for hearing over my headphones a loud conversation.
Yeah.
And I turned my head to see him throwing rubbish onto my road. No, it's just like the audacity. I can't even, like, people that flick their cigarette butts out into the water. Yeah. Like, why? What's right. even? Go Alaska. You control that. Because, yeah. like, Alaska's I don't blame like controlling them.
It, trying to make sure that it keeps its natural beauty. And Alaskan Brewing Co. are also, you know, part of that mission themselves. They're a very sustainable brewery. I believe they've got, like, CO2 capture and everything. And they try and recycle everything. During lockdown, there was a kind of like online virtual tour of their brewery, which was super fun. Yeah, it was like an Alaskan breweries trail, and several breweries signed up to do kind of virtual tours. And like, you paid for like a ticket, and then you got the link. I think it was over several weeks. And if you were close enough, you could buy a pack of beers that had their beers in, and you could drink along online. Obviously, I was far too far away for that.
Yeah, but that's cool.
But I reminisced about it, because, like, at one point they were in Juneau, and there was a different brewery that wasn't there when I used to visit. And they were like, "Oh yeah, so we're going to walk down this way, and we're going to walk around the corner." I was like, "Oh, I used to walk down that road. The post office is down there."
That's cute.
It was fun. That was fun.
I like that.
Yeah, so Pommy
does miss those COVID activities of doing like virtual stuff like that, because like the places that are too far away now, you're like, oh, I want to bring back the virtual events for people that are like too far away.
Yeah, it's cool. But yeah, so I learned more bits about that there. They're just a really cool brewery, and I think they've always done kind of really accessible beers, but some really interesting beers. Their raspberry wheat is top notch.
Nice.
I said they got smoked porter. Didn't get to try their black IPA, which made me sad. But yeah, good bit. Summer. So their summer ale was a Kolsch, and I actually really enjoyed it. And this was like at a time where I was like, no. Like, Kolsch isn't one of my favourite styles.
Yeah.
Like, I've tried loads, and I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. it's fine. But I really enjoyed summer ale. Didn't realise it was cold for a long time. And then I was like, oh, I like that cold.
That is like, I just feel like I've had really good experiences having kolsches outside in the sun, in the summer. And I'm just like, oh, see, I don't think I've ever had like a bad experience with a kolsch. So I feel like the one that stands out the most in my memory was, I think Siren did a collab and there was Melissa Kolsch.
Yeah. That I really no, that was it was
Neptune. It was Neptune, but Siren had it on. I think that a Siren had it on at their I don't know, they had an event on and it was the Neptune, but I want to say it was like a collab beer of some sort, or maybe it was just because they were collaborating on the event that Siren was doing. And they had Melissa Kolsch. And I really enjoyed it. I was just like, quite good. Give it to him. It's a very enjoyable Kolsch. But I'm
do you want to hear their mission statement?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
So Jeff and Marcy and the brew crew wanted Alaska Brewing Co. to benefit the state of Alaska and the craft brewing industry. Independently owned and operated since 1986, Alaskan Brewing Co. continues to abide by its three-part mission: to produce internationally recognized quality craft beverages, to showcase quality-oriented manufacturing in Alaska, and to have fun growing both individually and as a company.
I like that.
Isn't that cute? And then one thing that I found on the website that I thought you would love,
okay,
is that so part of the proceeds for their Husky IPA that sold at participating locations goes to non-profit animal organisations, and the initiative is called Ales for Tales.
Oh my god! Oh. Okay, yep. You said Husky IPA and charity, and I was like, okay, this is already great.
Yep.
And then you hit me with Ales for Tales. Yep.
It's been going since 2017, and it's raised nearly $100,000 for animal nonprofits with participation in Alaska, Washington, California, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Idaho, Illinois, Michigan, Nevada, South Dakota, and Ohio.
I love that.
Isn't that cool?
I love that so much.
Yep.
Ales for Tales.
Ales for Tales. And they also have a coastal code. Clean oceans depend on everyone. They're just so good. I love them.
They're so, like, yeah, ethical.
Yep. I loves it.
Have you actually got to have any of your Pilsner yet?
I have, yeah. It has foamed down a little bit. She's got a head on her. She's got a nice, thick head on her on my one.
Yeah, I don't know. Yours poured very foamy.
It's clean. It's got a little bit of that crackeriness to it. It's got a little bit of herbal hop.
I think
easy drinking.
I think for me, so I really enjoy it, but I think for me, the one thing that I want a little bit, like my palate wants a little bit more of, is like I want a little bit more crispness in it. Like I feel like it's just like, for me, I would like a little tiny, like a little bit more carbonation. Not a lot, yeah, just like a tiny little kiss more carbonation, not a massive amount.
I think there's a fair bit of bitterness in there, so it's probably based on a German Pilsner.
I see. I don't have like a lot of bitterness, I don't think. I'm going back in now that you've said it. Yeah, I think it's a bitterness that is very quick to come on and very quick to leave, so I forget about it quite quickly, because it's not something that's like lingering there, and it's not really aggressive. I feel like it's quite well balanced. Like, it is a really well balanced bitterness. I just think there's like a certain point in this, I don't know how else to explain it, but like a certain point within the sip that I'm like, if there was just like a little teeny tiny little bit more like carbonation in that, I'd be like, perfect. Not too much, because I find that's too gassy if it's too much, but just like a tiny kiss.
I think it just needs something more. I want like a little bit more flavour, or maybe something. But
maybe that's what it is. Something feels like it's missing, but I can't work out what. And not a lot of it, just a little tiny bit. But this is perfectly sessionable.
Yeah, I think that's us, because we like a full flavoured lager.
And it's also because I love the most toasty, bready,
right, exactly,
just like beautiful. So to me, this is quite like no frills with lager, like there's nothing to hide behind. This is not hiding behind anything. But then obviously I like more complex flavors in general anyway, so I feel like there's something that's missing from it, but like I can't work out what that something is. And it's not it's a tiny bit of something, but everything that's in it is really well balanced, so I can't work it out.
I think if it's a really hot day, you know, you're at, like, we're in Alaska, you've gone fishing,
we're in Alaska,
you're on a little hike, it's a lovely sunny day, you want like a super cold refreshing beer, this is your can,
this is your one,
you know, this is one for you. I would like a little bit more flavor about it, but that's just me because I like a full flavored lager.
I
would just order an amber.
I mean, I don't know. Again, I liked the amber, but I don't know if I would just order the amber. I don't know if that's, still don't know if that is like my vibes. I think I'd probably go with the Pilsner more than the amber. But yeah, I agree. I feel like I just want a little bit more flavour from it. But then I was trying not to be too harsh either, because I think obviously with this, I don't know if this is because we've held it for so long. That could maybe also be part of it. I don't know. But there's nothing that tastes off about it or like not right.
Yeah,
it's very enjoyable. Have you had enough of this one? Do you want to move on to the next one? Because I did create a little game for you to play.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, let's do another, because we have got four beers this evening.
Yeah, so let's have the next one and we'll play my little game. All right, next one that we're having is, I'll let you introduce it. This is your, these are your picks.
Icy Bay IPA. Now, I'm wondering, she says, going to her Untappd, if this is, because I believe, like, they didn't have fancy names when they first put things like this out. And their original, like, it was just called IPA from Alaska when I was over there. And it was this colour on the bottle. So I wonder if this is, like, the renamed version.
What's interesting though about these cans, so far all of them, I don't want to say until I check the last one, normally on cans you get like some type of story or some type of something. These literally are just artwork and Surgeon General warnings. Like there is no like additional information about them, about the work they're doing, which I guess in some way maybe it's to maximize the space for the artwork and for the name, pinning on just legally what has to sort of go on there. But I wonder if that's also to do with kind of not wasting, I wonder if that has to do with not wasting anything, any resources to put additional information on there.
It was also part of a pack, so there may have been more information in the box, to be fair. I think this is the reworked of the one that I used to have that was just called IPA. It's still 6.2%. This was, if I remember rightly, this was the first IPA that I ever went, oh, actually, I quite like this. Because I'd had other IPAs and I was like, nah, not into that.
Mine started foaming like immediately. And I was like, so this one for me is the foamy one.
Mine's all right. It is classic West Coast colour.
Well, I was going to say, if I had to hazard a guess, I'd hazard a guess that it was going to be West Coast. from looking at it. Like, I think just from looking at it, I'm like, West Coast.
It's got that. Citrus and pine.
It's hard because I've got too much foam almost for me to really smell too much.
Yeah, I'm getting pine.
I'm getting a bit, I think because of all the foam and stuff, I'm almost getting a bit florally in it.
Yeah. Grapefruit peel. Right, I'm going in.
Interesting.
It is quite floral, isn't it?
It's very floral. But then there is this like, West Coast bitterness to it. Yeah. But like not in the, like it feels like it's missing. Like you have that West Coast bitterness coming on there, but it feels like it's missing the like resinous element to it and the piney element that like a lot of them have. So that feels like it's missing, but then it's like got this floral side to it. And yeah, grapefruit maybe?
Yeah. Do you want to know what hops are in it? Cascade. Yes, please.
Okay. Hops,
Bravo, Calypso, Summit, and Apollo.
Interesting. This is going to be really great for my new nerdy endeavor, which people don't know about yet. So just all I can say is that that'll be fun. That'll be a fun one to add.
Yeah, so that's fun.
It feels okay, like balance wise. I think there's more bitterness than I personally enjoy.
Yeah, same.
I think it's a flavor combination. It's not, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just not the flavor combinations that I enjoy. It's the things about when they're balanced with other things, I don't mind those flavors, but the fact they're balanced together, I'm like, I don't know if I love it. Like, I'll drink it. Don't know if I love it because I don't think I love that grapefruit with the floral with the bitter. Doesn't feel balanced in the correct way for me.
Yeah. I'm just like,
but it might grow on me, to be fair, as I sip on it. So
West Coast are not my favourite. I think it's a well-made beer.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for me.
That's what I mean, is I think like it's the way those flavours are coming together for me personally, my personal taste buds. I'm gonna let it grow on me a little bit and see.
Yeah.
As we go on, we're gonna play this game and I'll see if anything changes as we play this game. All right, I feel like Jigsaw. Shall we play a game?
Sure. I know you love a game.
I've never even watched the Saw film, so I don't know why. Like, I've never watched.
Where did that come from?
But I'm like, do you want to play a game? And I'm sure that I didn't even say that in the correct tonation. So I just made this up, and you literally know nothing about the game that we're about to play.
Nothing.
I was just like, I said to you, I'm going to do a thing, maybe, if I get my shit together.
I'm going to do some fun things.
Yeah, and I said, okay. Maybe, because I wasn't sure how my day was going to pan out. It didn't pan out well, but I did manage to do this for you. So I thought I would just take some of the popular UK breweries that have core ranges. And I would read you out the Cool Range beer name and style one by one and see how long it took you to figure out who the brewery was.
Oh,
I just thought it'd be fun. I'm not going to keep track of it for points because this is not about competition today.
Okay.
It's just about a bit of fun. And I thought people could play along at home. I think some of them, the first bunch are probably quite easy, but it'll be interesting to see how many people at home, how many they get. So, yeah. I'm just going to do it one by one. And if you don't know yet, just tell me to say next one and I can tell you how many in you got. I tried to put the really obvious ones last on some of them. So
Okay.
I feel like this first one, I've started off incredibly easy. I'm going to ask you the most obscure one first. Eternal Session IPA.
That's not the monk.
It absolutely is. Well, hey! I was going between that or Striding Edge, and I was like, I don't know.
That's what. Yeah, I don't know.
There was Faith, Hazy Pale, Eternal, Session IPA. I didn't even tell you what it was. Session IPA, Heathen, New England IPA, Northern Star, which is a porter, and then Striding Edge, Hazy Light IPA. So this is all based on their website, but I should specify as well. This is based on the websites. And what they have put as their core beers or their flagship beers. Some breweries I wanted to put on, but it was, and I knew that they had a core range, but like couldn't, it wasn't very clear.
Couldn't verify.
So I was like, I'm not going to do that. Right, the next one.
You got receipts, people.
I got the receipts. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know which one. Like, I'm trying to think of what the most obscure one to ask you about is. Some of them I'm like, you're gonna know immediately. Yulu Session Pale Ale.
Siren.
Yeah. That's what I was like, they're all really easy. And I was like, sound wave. So
girl, you send me too much siren for me not to be able to pull out Siren.
Soundwave IPA. Cool Calypso range. Is dry hops out, even though I don't think that one is considered a core range anymore. Yeah, but it's still listed on their website.
Controversial.
Still listed on the website as a core range. That's why I put it
in there.
Someone
needs to update the website.
I think someone needs to get rid of the cans. Broken Dream Nitro Breakfast Stout, Lumina Session IPA, Yulu, which I also believe is no longer a core range beer, but it was listed in a pack of like core range stuff. Okay. And then Pastel Pills, which is a gluten-free Pilsner, which is also technically not their core range, but it's in their flagship box. One thing I would say that I really quite liked about how Siren did their branding is on their website, they've got a description that says the pride of the brewery. So they're called flagship beers, which I thought was nice. And it says the pride of the brewery. This is a place to order super fresh cans of our flagship beers, the go-tos, the fridge fillers, the best introduction to craft beer, and the ones we love to go back to time and time again. I thought that was just a really good. I felt like that summed up for me
what a core range is
and what a core range should be. So far, we have Northern Monk, which had hazy pale session IPA, New England IPA, porter, hazy light IPA. How would you say that core range feels for you?
That's a lot of IPAs for me.
It's a lot of pales and IPAs.
It's a lot of pale beer, right? But they have got a porter in there, so...
But it's like I don't feel the... For me, the ratio is not what
no
I want.
No shade nor the monk's
sauce. Like, remove one of your hazies and make it a lager.
Sells.
No, it absolutely is what sells. It is 100% what sells. It works.
Coming back to Siren, I haven't got it in my list of formative beers, but Broken Dream was definitely... like an early UK craft beer that I was like, I like this one a lot. And like,
gorgeous,
I've had it
that.
Over the time, several, you know, I've had it, I've had the variants, I've had it multiple times over the years. Interestingly, I just bought a can of it.
Did you?
At the weekend.
Why?
Because I'm making my own birthday cake because I'm the baker. So, you know, who else is going to bake my birthday cake?
That's fair.
So, but I wanted to do... Like, I'm doing, like, a coffee cake, and I wanted to stick some beer in it. And I was like, right, while I was out in Worthing at the weekend, I found a bottle shop and was like, I need a coffee beer. And that was the only one that they had that was remotely coffee-ish. So I've Nitro Broken Dream downstairs ready to go in my birthday cake when I start baking it.
Lovely. So.
I mean, it's solid, right? I was just like, I'm not mad at it.
And I feel like as a flagship range, whatever you want to call it, core range, flagship range, I think if we were to leave Calypso, like if I were to buy a mixed box under their flagship tab right now, which includes Calypso, it includes Yulu, it includes Pastel Pils, because yeah. Yulu also has, it's like a Earl Grey session, but there's Earl Grey in that one. It's just really lovely. So I feel like for me, this is probably the one that is the most appealing so far out of the two to me.
Yeah.
Because you've got a dry hop sour, which is like Calypso is absolutely banging. Soundwave, so drinkable. You've got, you know, a stout in there and a nitro stout at that. So that's just like lovely. You know, Lumina, that drinks just as easy as like a lager does. Yeah. It's a session IPA. It's very sessionable, very easy drinking. You lose gorgeous. And then you've got your Pastel Pils, gluten-free Pilsner, which is also, it's really nice to have a gluten-free option, like a specifically gluten-free option. So to me, that one so far is the winner, to my taste buds personally. Ready for the next one? This is yes. Like you're going to know immediately again. Jamestown, New England IPA.
That's Thornbridge.
It is. Can you? I'm going to stop telling you the others. Can you name the others that are in the core range?
No. Jaipur.
Yeah. What's the style?
IPA. It's an American IPA.
Okay. Yeah. Got that. Got two more. I'll tell you. There's two more. It's a way more fun game. You just tell me what the core ranges are.
This is really hard.
If I said it to you, you would know immediately.
If you said it to me, I would totally know it. Lord Marple's?
Mm-mm.
No?
Not listed as one of their core ranges. I can tell you.
Yeah, please do, because I couldn't tell you off the top.
You've got Green Mountain, which is the hazy Vermont session IPA, and you have Lucas, their gluten-free Helles
and
lager.
Yeah.
I would put
Lord Marple's the best bitter in there, personally.
It's a bit of a weird one, because they had like packs that were sort of like... This is why, I mean, it was a little bit difficult. So I stuck with the ones that I knew 100% were their repeatable ones, because then they had these like packs where I was like, yeah, those ones I don't see that often. So I kind of stuck with the top four on that one that I knew would be the obvious.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. How do we rate that core range? I think it's good. I feel like that's probably that one. I'd say Jaipur is and Thornbridge overall is probably a lot of people in the UK's core range that got them into craft beer.
Go read my Try All The Beers post about Jaipur on my
shameless plug. Shameless self promotion.
Yeah, a little bit of history about Jaipur over there.
This next one, I'm wondering how quickly you'll get it, because I think you'll get it, and I think you'll get it quite immediately.
Yeah.
But let's find out. Hebden, which is a lager.
Vocation.
It is, yeah. If I had started with Crush Hour every day, hazy pale, would you have gotten that?
No.
So it was back and forth between the two, and I was like, I've never seen Hebden anywhere. So I'm like, which one are you?
But Vocation's in Hebden Bridge.
Well, yeah, but there's like a few places around there, isn't there?
Yeah, but Vocation's probably most famous for being in Hebden.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah, so you've got Hebden, which is their lager, Heart and Soul gluten-free session IPA, Love and Hate New England IPA, Bread and Butter dry hopped pale, Crush Hour everyday hazy pale, Life and Death IPA, Hop Skip and Juice hazy pale, and Naughty and Nice chocolate stout. What do you think about that lineup?
They've got a lot in that lineup. But I think it covers quite a few bases.
So that's eight. Did I count that right? I'm bad at math. Yeah, that's eight. Can I say something controversial? Because they're all really tasty. No shade.
Go on.
But that's a lot in the core range, but not saying a lot. Like, there's not, because they're saying a lot, but they're not saying a lot. Because I feel like that is a lot of pale and IPA.
Yeah,
that's true. But that's 100% what sells. So, like, that is me in my present. For me, in my, like, ideal core range, they're so good at them. And, like, I've never had one that I don't like. I've never had one and gone, I didn't like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like more diversity. I feel like there's a trend here. It's clearly not just them. The trend is very much that hazy, pale, IPA. That's what the people want in a core range.
I feel we'd be remiss here at A Woman's Brew if we didn't say that we're slightly upset with Vocation at the minute, because their marketing person said females in a article in The Guardian recently.
Oh. Yeah. That was a...
Soz, guys, but like 2012 wants its news article back. Like,
that was an interesting...
Stouts aren't just drunk by women, and women aren't getting into beer because of stouts.
That was an interesting article, full stop, by the way, because I felt like that whole article said a lot with saying very little fuck all. Like, they were like, let us, much like what I just said about the range, they were like, let me, and it's not even focused that much around Vocation. They were like, let's say a bunch of things that are backed up by one supermarket. Maybe percentage that
we're looking at you, Tesco's.
No, it was Waitrose.
Oh, that was actually Waitrose. They talked about Tesco's as well.
They talked about Tesco's, but Tesco's was just about stout sales, full stop.
Yeah.
Waitrose was like, this percentage is females buying the stouts, but it wasn't even about consumption. It was just like, this percentage of people that buy stouts are identify as women. And then they decided to take that and be like, I could go on a rant about that for ages. I'm not going to do that.
That was a rubbish article.
It's shit.
Don't Google it, people. Don't give them clicks.
Yeah, don't give them clicks. It was fucking shit. If you'll see everything you need on Juice Posting or wherever else you want to go for your UK CBM.
Your daily dose.
Your daily dose. You know, you can see it all.
Nonsense.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's all we got to say on the matter. No more comments. Next one. I almost read the name of the brewery out. And I was like, oh, I'd have been bad.
Thrown you.
Panama Creature Extra Pale Ale. Panama Creature Extra Pale Ale.
Ooh. Extra Pale Ale. Now I'm going to go on to the next one. She's trying not to smile.
I'm trying to go to the ones that are not. I'm like, which one is the one that you're going to... And I'm trying to play a game with myself that's like, Panama, you would know that one. Grohl Pilsner.
Grohl Pilsner.
It's just called Grohl, and it is a Pilsner.
No, I don't know that one either.
This is all based on the website, by the way. I will just have a kind reminder of that. So when you go, I've not heard of that, I can go, it was on the website. Pentin Oatmeal Stout.
Pentin?
Mm-hmm. Like stout. Fenton, but with a P.
No, I don't know that one either.
I'm running out of them. Tuned Hazy Pale Ale.
Tuned.
Let me say it in a
is
British
way. Signature?
Nope.
Tuned.
Or for the Americans, tuned.
Who else does music references? I don't know.
Do you need another?
Yeah.
N1 American Pale Ale.
N as in naughty.
Yeah. Oh, I like where you went with that. You didn't go the standard November. You went naughty. I normally, I'm really bad at doing the British. Yeah. So for Americans, like British people will like spell things out like military style, where they'll be like N for this, and like they'll be like N for Nancy or N for November, and like I panic and I'm like, I don't know, and then I always come up with the weirdest things, and so that's why I don't like doing that. So I really appreciate the fact that you went N for naughty. I was like, yes, correct.
I've got a story about this. So the other day we were when we were in Liverpool, we were getting an Uber, and I had it on my phone, and I was like, oh, Thomas Paul is coming to get us. And one of my colleagues went, well, that's not like, why are you doing it that way? Why, like, that's not right. That's not the phonetic alphabet. No, I think, was it Thomas? No, I think it was Thomas Paul. And he was like, that's Tango Papa. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, why aren't you doing, like, you're a girl guide, you should know the phonetic alphabet. And I'm like, the guy who's coming to pick us up is called Thomas Paul. And he was like, oh, I thought you were phonetically reading out the number plate. I was like, no.
And also, the number plate only have two things in
there. I was like, no. Thomas Paul.
And then it's like,
going to guess. Not Tango Papa. Thomas Paul.
My brain just goes blank and I'll be like, S, shit. F of fuck, as in fuck this shit. I don't know. And it's like, it depends on who you're talking to. And then you're like, think of something normal. And then like the worst things come into your brain. You're like, I can't say that one. That's not appropriate in public.
So I don't believe I've drunk any of these beers ever.
Okay, I can give
I don't know who this is.
I can give you another one.
Yeah, go on then.
N7. It's an IPA.
N7? No, I don't know who this
okay,
is.
Okay, I'll give you the last one and you will definitely figure it out with the last one.
Okay.
Crunch, peanut butter milk stout.
Oh, Hamilton.
Yeah. But they had a series that was like...
Panama Creatures. Yeah, I remember that.
Creature.
I remember
that being. Panama Creature.
Yeah, Panama Creature. I've definitely drunk that.
I know you've had that, but I led with that thinking this could go one of two ways.
Yeah, no,
and then like, we definitely had the series where it was like N and then there was a number next to it. But yeah, we have.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't recognise any of those. But I don't think I've drunk a huge amount of Hamilton.
That's why I didn't go in with his
Crunch is literally.
That's why I didn't go in with his Crunch.
Literally the most famous beer of theirs that I know. So,
well, it's only because we went to the tap room. Well, I thought I'll add them to the list. So there we go. Yeah. I stumped you. Before we finish, I've got some more. We could just ditch the whole second half of this conversation, just have the fourth beer, and I'll just carry on with this. What do we say? Should we do that?
Do one more.
Okay, one more. Ooh, well, this is hard. All right, because I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more. So I'll just do the one in the middle. Okay, Zealous Pilsner Lager.
Oh no, I don't know that one. I had to think about it, but I don't.
Hopfest Gluten Free Pale.
Hopfest.
Yep, Hopfest. All one word. Hopfest.
No.
Big C West Coast IPA. C as in the ocean, not C as in the letter C.
Oh, Big C.
West Coast IPA.
I feel like it's someone like S43, but are they still brewing?
No. Well, that's a good question if they're still brewing. I mean, it's not S43, but good question.
Can I carry on? No, I don't know that one.
Roadkill, New England IPA.
Roadkill, New England IPA. No, don't know that one.
Sumo, American Pale Ale.
Oh, I've definitely heard of that.
I know you have. That's why I didn't lead with it. You 100%
know. I can't remember who brewed it. Sumo. Like, I can see the label.
I've got one more if you
go on then.
Delacreme Milk Stout.
Oh, is it Mad Squirrel?
Yes. You start like I could see you were about to say it, and I was like, yes, yes, and then you'd stopped, and I was like, no, keep going. Well, there you go. I've got a few more, and if we do it later, if we want to do a bonus one later, I can ask you the rest of them on a bonus one, but there you go.
That was good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you think about the breweries that take the wildcard approach, where it's just like, where wildcard just has like lager, India Pale Ale. They do like a few other, they're Thirst Trap and they've got FOMO, but like just having lager, India Pale Ale, pale ale? Like, how do you feel about what? Or I think Seven Brothers does the same thing. It's just like session IPA.
It says what it is, isn't it? You know what you're getting.
I was thinking the same thing as I went. Yeah. And on Wildcard, the labels are really pretty.
Yeah, for a core range, yeah. You know what you're getting.
Absolutely makes sense. Right, let's round this off. Let's have our final beer and we can talk about our foundations. All right.
Final beer. Juno Juice. I like the colours on this.
I was going to say, I think the colour, like, this is the most simplistic out of all the labels that we've had so far. But I think it's my favourite, and I think it's the colour palette, which is blue, orange, green, and white. And I think it's the way the colours flow together looks a bit like a river running through some mountains.
And I think it just kind of, doesn't it, like, make you think about what's in the can? Like, it's going to have those citrusy flavours. It's going to have...
I'm immediately going to say orange.
Yeah, it's going to have, like, lovely fresh water that it's been brewed with, like... It just looks like a refreshing beer that I want to drink.
It looks like it's going to be cold, refreshing, and orangey.
Yeah.
Right.
It is the highest ABV of the day at 6.8%.
Oh, shit. I mean, to be fair, none of them are. So you got 6.2. That's not...
Yeah.
You got
5.3 on Amber.
4.8
on Pilsner.
They're not as... I thought they would be, like, more consistently lower.
More session-y.
Yeah. Not complaining. I had a day.
It's not as hazy as I would have expected it to be. It is more haze than the others.
I think I've got some bits in mine.
Not juice, though.
Yeah, I've got some bits.
Oh, no.
Thankfully, I've got very little bits floating around, because that could have been...
Oh, no.
Sad if there were too many bits.
Yeah. It smells very grapefruity.
I was going to say, I feel like a zesty, like, citrus kick to it, but I don't know if that's because that's what I want to smell.
I feel like there's a bit of pine as well. Oh, I'm interested to find out what hops are in this.
It smells quite hoppy. I feel like I definitely get hop aroma from it. I was going to say, do you have the facts on what hops are in it? It's not as orangey specific as I'd want it to be.
Boo. So I've been looking on Untappd and there's actually been like a lot of information for all the other beers on there, but...
This one's just...
Not for this one. Let me see... I can find.
Well, you know what? I am actually getting. I think the orange that I'm getting is more, or citrus that I'm getting is more like the like the peel.
Yeah. And like it's a bit pithy.
Yeah. It's a lovely orange colour, I feel like.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, like it's quite hazed. It's a shame because, like, you can't, I don't know if you can see it in the video, but there is definitely some sediment at the bottom.
Got some floaters.
But I think I managed to catch it at like the best time where it's just literally teeny tiny little bits. So it's not really going to, I'm not like avoiding massive chunks or anything.
Yeah. All right, shall we try it?
Yeah.
I feel like I want more juicy flavours from it.
I actually don't mind it. Like, I feel like it's actually, for me, I quite like the level of juiciness that's there.
Like, I think it's very drinkable. But for me personally... I don't think it's very different from the Icy Bay. It's just a bit hazier.
I think there's less, for me, there's less bitterness, I think she says, as I'm about to go take another sip.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they're very different. Like, for me, that Icy Bay is more bitter.
I'm going back.
It's definitely more bitter, whereas this is less, it's less bitter, but I wouldn't say sweet or anything like that. It's just...
See, I'm getting the same, about the same amount of bitterness, but it's slightly different bitterness. Like, I think this is more like pithy, the white bit on the inside of an orange peel, whereas the Icy Bay is a bit more kind of piney resin.
get that bitterness. I just get the citrusy note to it. Quite like it. Zesty.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of grapefruit in there. But, you know, hazy IPAs are not my thing. This is why I'm an Alaskan amber girl.
Weirdly, I think I probably would go with the Pilsner the most out of all of these.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think for me it would go Pilsner, then probably a tie between the hazy IPA and the amber, and then the Icy Bay. Because I think it would depend on my mood. One mood I would sway towards amber, the other mood... I'd go towards hazy IPA. Like, right now, it's dark, it's cold. I'd probably go amber. If it was sunny out and I didn't have sediment, I'd probably go hazy IPA. I think for me, the sediment is what is ruining it for me personally. And that's what, to be fair, I guess because of that, I'd probably go Pilsner, Amber, hazy IPA, Icy Bay.
Amber's all the way up the top there. If I had to pick something different, I'd pick the Pilsner, and then the two IPAs are kind of on a par.
Fair. That's fair.
But I'm like, just throw it all out and give me Amber.
So I think this is obviously, like, part of this as well is probably because you had that stellar experience that first time drinking it, the good memories with it. And it's definitely to your taste.
Yeah.
It's definitely more to your taste, bud. But I think that there's got to be some level of that as well, which is like...
I mean, maybe, but
you're going in. You were going in knowing that you were like, "This is the one for me."
But I mean, look at these beers. Like, of these,
it's
four
true.
Beers,
that one is the most you.
That's a me beer, which takes us quite nicely onto the subject of our formative beers.
Oh, that's shocking that we managed to segue that. How did we even do that? It's almost like I don't write the episode, as we discussed at the beginning.
Do you want to discuss your?
Oh, you go first, because I feel like I just talked a lot about the other stuff. Okay. So I'll let you read a bit.
So I've gone back and had a little think about this, because as we all know, the beer that got me into beer is Sam Adams Boston Lager. If you're new around here, listeners, you may not have heard me say that, but I say it a fair amount.
Can we also specify that these beers that we picked as our formative year beers, they're not necessarily. I want to qualify and just say in advance, mine are definitely not like the best beers out there, and I'm not even going to pretend that they are the best beers out there. But for me, this is what sort of established that I'm like, I drink beer and I like beer.
Yeah, 100%.
And people are going to probably piss themselves about the fact of what I've got on my list. But
well, yeah. So, Boston Lager, obvs. That is the first beer that I had that I went, oh my god, beer tastes like different things. I want to taste all the things. I then quite quickly on the heels of Boston Lager had Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Again, has like sparked my love for Marzen's, and the hill that I will die on, that if you're going to brew a Marzen, brew a Marzen, don't brew a Fest beer. Like, do not label up your Fest beer as a Marzen. I'm going to get upset with you. Like, have this conversation fairly regularly. And that is because of Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Those beers really shaped what I liked. And I think that, and like, you know, we always talk about this like cyclical thing that we do as craft beer drinkers, where you know, you get into beer, you hate lager, blah, blah, blah. And it took me a while to realise Sam Adams is a lager. Like, you know, it's a Vienna lager. And it took me a little while to be like, oh, wait, there are different types of lagers. So, you know, these, and you know, Marzen's a lager. And these are the beers that literally got me into beer. So, all interesting. I would then say Hobgoblin was the next beer that was important. Like when I came back to the UK from having drunk some of these American beers, I was going back and forth while I was on the cruise ships. But yeah, Hobgoblin was probably what I could get most easily. Like this is 2008, 2009. So, you know, there wasn't easily accessible bottle shops. There wasn't places online that I could buy beer and get it shipped. And actually still now Kent is a little bit of a craft beer desert. Like we don't have a huge amount down here.
We do have some stuff.
Yeah, we have some stuff, but you know, not like we were in, as I said earlier today, I was in Worthing at the weekend. I took my dad with me and he was like, there's so many beer places here, like so many. And I was like, yeah, no, we'd like we do not have, like, on one road, there's, like, three different places that you can go to. We barely have three in one town here, you know? So it's not huge. So back in the day, when I was starting to get into beer, I was trying to find these flavours that I enjoyed while I was in the US. And I had to go to the supermarket, and I'm in Tesco's, and I'm like, well, I'll try this beer. It's got a goblin on it.
And you're like, this one speaks to me.
It was an ambery coloured beer. And I enjoyed it. And actually, I still contest this, but it is actually categorised as a brown ale. When I started doing my proper tasting and looking at descriptors and style guidelines and stuff, I was like, yeah, I guess it is a brown ale. But I always was just like, that's not a brown ale. Because it reminded me, like, it's got those similar malty characteristics to the Vienna Lager, to the alt beer, to the Alaskan Amber.
Like, those were the things that I really enjoyed about beer. So, you know, that's one of my first ones. There's one beer that really stands out to me that I've, like, I only ever drank it once. And it was Blue Paw Wild Blueberry Beer by Sea Dog Brewing Company.
I had that for sure. That's Sea Dog. I'm now looking that up. I'm fairly certain that was... Yeah, that was local to me. That one's beautiful.
Yeah. And, like, it was, again, one of these, like, experiences that you just really remember. We were in Maine not very often. Like, we'd stopped by and I went ashore on my own, ended up in a bar and was looking at, like, sat at the bar looking at what was available. And I'm like, well, that one's a blueberry beer. I'll try that. And it was so delicious. Like, and like, you know, when you say a blueberry beer nowadays, you're going to be like, automatically, yeah, I think our brains are going to be going to like a smoothie sour or something.
It's not red.
Like, this is like just a pale ale colored beer, but it's got a lovely blueberry flavor. Like, it was refreshing.
Yeah,
it was interesting. And it, like, just, I always remember that beer because it was, you know, it was wheat beer. And I was learning about all these different things a beer could be. Like,
yeah,
this pale beer that tasted of blueberries, like, that was amazing to me at the time.
I've had that specific beer many times. So I've and had it is it lovely.
Once. It was great. It was great. I loved it. And, like, I have that lingering memory about it. And I had a lovely time sat at the bar drinking it on my own. And then I think, you know, I'm not going to count Alaskan Amber because we've already spoken about that, but that's definitely... Fair.
I think you can count it.
Yeah. But also, we're going to sneak Blue Moon in there. Because I know it's macro, but it still holds.
Yeah, like... but this is... I don't think that this had to be a list of craft breweries. This was just a list of formative beers that made you be like, I like beer.
I will still buy a Blue Moon if it's what's available in the pub. Because it's refreshing.
Orange slice, made... yes or no?
No.
Because you were like, that's a step too far. Yeah. Get that orange slice out.
Yeah, because I want to taste the flavours that are in the beer. I don't want to add extras.
It's meant to complement.
No, I want to taste what the beer actually tastes like. I don't want to taste the extra bits that's been chucked into it that the brewer didn't put in it.
If you don't put it in, it just sits nicely on
the
glass.
No, some people put it in.
Oh, no. It just sits nicely on the glass as a garnish.
Yeah, no, I've had it. I've been at a tasting where they were like, stick that orange in there. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Oh, no.
It was the worst. This was the worst beer tasting I'd ever been to.
Is this the one that you told me?
It's the one. Yeah, the one.
This is the one.
It was so bad.
I'm chuckling. Like, I'm chuckling. If you know, you know. If you know, you know.
Message me if you want to hear more, because I'm not going into that rant again, but it was bad. But anyway. Yeah, I just bought one the other day and made a beer mosa with it. I enjoy Blue Moon. I'm not going to be ashamed that it's a macro beer. I enjoy it.
If you went out someplace now, like, obviously you said you still, like, you bought it the other day. Like, this is one that you would still go and buy, like, regularly as well.
Yeah, like, my dad and I go to the theatre in Canterbury sometimes, and one of the pubs that we go to and have dinner in, sometimes their beer lineup is rubbish, but they've got Bloom in the fridge, and I'm like, I'm having one of those, please, thank you.
Is the most, I feel like, in terms of, like, accessibility, it is one that's easier to get hands on in places where you don't really get craft.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, if I'm not
buying a Guinness, then I'm buying Blue Moon.
But it's like, I feel like that's part of the rotation of, like, Guinness, Goose Island, or Blue Moon. Yeah. Those are the ones where I'm like, what am I gonna get if I can't get craft beer?
Yeah,
one of those three, depending on my mood and the weather.
100%.
That's solid. Is that your pick?
That's my five. Yeah,
that's your five.
That's my five.
Okay, I'm gonna kind of do mine in a slight order because I feel like I have to start with one in particular because I can't really finish on it because it's just a lot. I want to get the hate out of the way first.
Is this going to be the clip? Is this what I'm going to cut?
No, don't do that. I mean, I don't think people will be surprised, though. I don't think people will. Anyone that actually knows me on a personal level, not from beer, but before beer stuff, will be like, obviously. If if you are friends with me on Facebook and you've looked at old photos of me, you'll be like, obviously. what do you, if you had to guess, what do you think it would be?
Me, is it Budweiser? Are you
no? Oh God, Budweiser? No! Ew, I've never liked Budweiser. You're not far off, but it's not Budweiser.
Oh, I don't know.
PBR.
Oh, PBR is not PBR. Not, don't be ashamed of drinking PBR.
I'm PBR girl. It's you know, it's the top tier.
It's more flavorful than some of the others.
Yeah, top tier and bottom tier. Yeah, 100%. Because I feel like there's way more flavor than Budweiser. 100%. There's just more flavors there. But for me, the reason I put that on my list was like, this was my go-to beer. Definitely by the point that I hit legal drinking age and not a day before then. That was my go-to.
Do you think... US drinking culture, when you first start drinking, is beer the go-to, do you think?
I think it maybe depends on where you are. For Boston, it is. I would say for Boston, like, it's if you're not drinking cocktail, like, I imagine there's probably cocktails, but I guess my experience is like beer is the go-to. Yeah. I think, to be fair, I am cursed and blessed. I'm cursed with the blessing that is having really good beer.
Yeah.
That feels like it's macro, but it's not. Like there's a lot of breweries that, in terms of UK culture, you'd expect would be, oh, that's macro beer, but it's not actually considered macro in the US. But it is, like, the production and where you see it everywhere at liquor stores, like, you would kind of look at it in the same way. So pause that thought for a sec. My first is PBR, because that was my go-to. And I think that's just because there was more flavor there than Bud Light or Budweiser. Didn't taste like piss. It was cheap, like, so cheap. You'd get 40s of PBR, and that would just, yeah, that. It would, God, I've got some really bad photos of
I mean, I just had a little count up in my head, and like the time that I had like my first alcoholic beverage, was getting into, you know, was starting to see alcoholic beverages available, was 1996. So, you know, my beginning time beer wasn't that great over here. 1996.
I guess it's different though, because you had like you had more of probably trad stuff more than like anything else. Like for me,
it was Carling.
Beer for me was like the equivalent for us in the US, or at least in Boston, is very much like Budweiser, Bud Light. Pause the thought of what I'm about to say next, but Coors Light, like all of those. But like PBR for me was the one that had the most amount of flavor for the lowest price point, and it was just easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Wasn't super bland from my memory. I think the only other thing I kind of shared joint first also with Red Stripe. Like for me, Red Stripe was like my barbecue beer of choice. Like, so PBR was like my year round selection, and Red Stripe was like, especially when I was younger, was like the luxury of like, it's barbecue. Get the pinkies up, get the Red Stripe out. Remember, it's time to barbecue.
I don't remember seeing Red Stripe over here. I didn't have it until I was like on cruise ships in the Caribbean.
Wait, so and that was like, going to be what I asked, because weirdly I find that Red Stripe is actually, I feel like I see Red Stripe quite a lot over here.
I think you do
now. So I didn't know if that was always a thing, because I don't feel like it was always a thing for us either. Like, I was just like, oh, and they came in the fun little tiny sized bottles. Like that I would say would be like the Braybrook bottles, those like tiny little stubby bottles. So it was really great. So I really enjoyed those. So that's my joint first.
I don't remember that being a thing over here. Like, I think it was Carling, Carlsberg, Heineken.
We had Heineken stuff as well, but that just
Budweiser
wasn't
Budweiser were probably the beers. Or it was, you know, your granddad's beer that was, you know, bitters that were on cask.
Yeah, we just didn't have that as an option.
No.
We had more macro, I think, options than anything else. So the next one I'll say, I just put Sam Adams overall, because it was really funny, because I think when we started this podcast, I never mentioned Sam Adams as being one of my formative beers. And it wasn't really until I had an epiphany at some point in time that I was like, I never called out that Sam Adams was probably one of my formative beers. But that's because, and this is going to be the most controversial part of it, Sam Adams to me felt as natural as a drinking choice for where I'm from as drinking a Budweiser. Like, to me, having a Sam Adams and having a Budweiser, same, same. Not in terms of taste, and I feel like that people will be like, I cannot believe you just compared the two. In terms of taste, but in terms of accessibility and availability. And commonality. Like, commonality. Like, you would go to somebody's house, like, you would, anybody, you had people that enjoyed Bud or Bud Light, and you had people that would like Sam Adams. And that was, like, what was in the fridge. I think that there's more of a culture of dropping in the US, of, like, people will just drop in and they'll just have a beer, and you're like, oh, I've got a beer in the fridge. Oh, what do you like? What do you want? Do you want this? Do you want that? Or summer parties, like, people come over to your house for a barbecue and you'd have, like, all the beer lined up. And Sam Adams was as commonplace as Budweiser. So I didn't really put a specific one there, because I think the seasonal ones are my favorites depending on the season. So, like, Oktoberfest, love it. Standard Boston Lager, that is, to me, normal. That's the same as, like, Budweiser. Old Fezziwig, one of my favorites. I think Spiced Brown out, like, literally. Yeah. Oh, chef's kiss. Love.
It's a pecan porter
Pecan porter.
So good.
There's Porch Rocker, which is amazing. They did a pumpkin one that was just amazing. Jacko.
Good.
Yeah, lots of good options.
They
that's why
do a really good cherry wheat.
They still do it. It's in their summer.
I had a blackberry wheat once.
Ooh. They just have amazing beers, full stop. And to me, that is literally, that is my commonplace growing up beer. So I feel very fortunate.
Side note, I can't remember if I told you this the other day when I was talking about it, but I met someone from Boston Beer Company while I was working. And I actually asked them about the production of Sam Adams at Shepherd Neame. And I was like, do you still do that? And they said no, because they could never get rid of the hell. Because she was like, whenever we spoke to people who were like, oh, yeah, you can get Sam Adams over in the UK now. It's not quite right. And it was because they just could not get rid of the house flavour. Like, it didn't matter what they did.
Mm-hmm.
The Shepherd Neame, there was just a Shepherd Neame twang that was always there. And she was like, so we just don't make it anymore because we couldn't get rid of it, and there was nothing that the brewery would do to change it. So
well,
we stopped them from
I finally did the Sam Adams tour after however many decades of my life being from Boston. And like, literally we were in the tour and they were like, and then we have this production, and I was just like, water profiles, let me tell you about this. Like, that is Rick's, like, you've told me about seven times. And I was like, but now we're at Sam Adams, I can tell you about the water profiles. It is a definite, it's interesting how it's just not this, like, it really truly was not the same.
But I think it's interesting because I got told at the brewery that it was, oh, it's the water profiles, we just can't get it right. But I think from that conversation that I had, I think maybe they weren't using the right kind of yeast.
Yeah, I was just going to say, was it going to be house yeast or something like that?
I think actually it was house yeast. And rather than
the second
like
you said
the house
flavours, I was like, is it house yeast that
they're using? Yeah, I think it must have been house yeast. Rather than using like a clean American strain, they must have been using their own. I mean, this is conjecture, people.
We don't know. This is a fact.
They've, like, basically, Sam Adams stopped doing it because they couldn't get it right.
So, I don't blame
and
them.
And it's their global brand. Like, it's got to be right.
And it was,
like,
and it wasn't good.
And it wasn't right.
Listen to our episode. It wasn't right.
Yeah, listen to our episode on water profiles where we compare the two.
So yeah. So to me, it was I treated Sam Adams the same as a Budweiser.
Yeah.
For all those reasons. So that's number two. Number three for me was Circus Boy from Magic Hat, which was American style Hefeweizen. Magic Hat in general, like, I'd always buy the mixed packs of Magic Hat. Really loved it. Circus Boy was just my favourite because I really, really like the Hefeweizen. So, yeah, overall Magic Hat in general, but specifically that's probably the one that I would consistently go and buy the most in its own single pack, not just mixed packs. But I think that there's a lot of difference of, like, the reason we're talking about this on this episode is because so far all of these things are like core ranges, so to speak. Like, they have a core range. I mean, PBR being like PBR is just the core range. It's just PBR. Although they do some weird stuff now, but like, they do like coffee.
They do coffee. Yeah,
I couldn't find it, but I will. If I find it, I'll try it. Yeah. But like Magic Hat is another one that has like their core range, and Circus Board, I think number 9 was like their core.
Number 9.
Really, really lovely. But Circus Boy has my heart, always will have my heart. The artwork is great, like of Magic Hat in general. I don't know what they're like now, because they're obviously very different now to when I was drinking them over a decade ago. But always have a place in my heart.
Number 9 was one of those beers. Like, you know how nowadays people are like, must try Pliny, must try a Heady Topper.
Yeah.
Like, number 9 was one of those beers back in the day where people were like, if you get this beer, you have to try it.
So I've got that. Number 4 was UFO White. So.
Oh, yes.
That effectively, that was also, I had put on there, basically like Blue Moon. So those two are interchangeable. Yeah. So yeah, I basically went the same path of you. I was like Blue Moon, and I was like, actually, I'm going to say UFO White because I'd go with a Blue Moon. I drank a lot of Blue Moons back in the day, orange garnish and everything, a lot of them. But I chose to put like UFO White specifically because I thought I'd maybe upscale it. But you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go. But I just wanted to name UFO so that way I wasn't naming the exact same. We're gonna go Blue Moon. It's both same because they're very, very similar. And then my number 5, Shipyard Pumpkin.
Oof, good one.
Every year, every way.
One of my favorite beers ever, and then I had it again, and it still held up. Is Southern Tier Pumpkin.
Like, Pumpkin's very good, but for me, like, smashed actually, so the Shipyard Pumpkin, but then they do Smashed Pumpkin, and Smashed Pumpkin is the barrel aged pumpkin. It's just,
I mean, you can say these things because you lived in Massachusetts and you could have pumpkin
all the time.
Like, I've had these things like
rimmed cinnamon sugar rim.
Girl.
But that is always going to be on my list. I'm going to find every way to talk about pumpkin beer. I get tagged in all the beer posts, and this is why. But that genuinely, I would say that is one of my formats, because that is a yearly occasion of like, it's pumpkin beer season, yay! And then we'd go out and buy all the pumpkin beers. And then it would be Halloween, we'd paint our pumpkins, and we'd take the kids, we'd take my niece and nephew trick-or-treating with beers in hand around the neighbourhood. It's just great.
Ever told you how I got into pumpkin?
No.
Because we don't really have pumpkin for eating.
I feel like you should save this for our pumpkin episode.
Oh, let's save, yeah, save okay. That like, for watch, our this, pumpkin watch this space. Watch this
for
space,
another
listeners.
Delayed episode.
We're going to save this for our delayed pumpkin episode because we really missed it this year because nothing was out. And then when we finally
we're going to do the reverse of Christmas in July, and we're going to do
we can do pumpkin and we're going to do Halloween in
Halloween in July.
April.
Halloween in May.
That's what we're gonna do.
I like this. But yeah, well, that's.
I mean,
my,
I've got my spooky Care Bears T-shirt on today.
I do like the spooky.
They've got their
Bears.
Little pumpkin.
Oh, they're so
bags.
Spoopy! I love them.
Yeah, my spooky Care Bears. One's dressed up as a mummy.
They're cute.
The other one's got a pumpkin on its belly. I love it.
I'm a spooky Care Bear fan.
I know.
I love that. Well. That's my list of 5. That's our lists.
Isn't that interesting?
All of those are core ranges. Like UFO has a core range. Shipyard has a core range. Sam Adams has a core range. So
but isn't that interesting that we've got some things that definitely overlap there?
The thing that I thought that people would find probably more interesting is because I think that, like, I've said it before, but if you don't consistently listen, what I tend to like in the fact that, like, I was, like, big on PBR and then Sam Adams and wheat bit, like, you go Hefeweizens. I feel like no one's gonna be surprised by the pumpkin ale. Like, let's be real, even if you've listened to one episode, you know that I like pumpkin ale,
and
probably
mine are
Sam
all
Adams,
like,
but
mine are all like malty beers with that kind of flavor profile. Like that, it's not a surprise that those are the types of beer, you know, I'm a stout drinker, I'm a
malt forward beer drinker.
I feel like the surprise for me is people head. Are gonna assume that I'd be the hophead, but actually, yeah. like formative years wise, I'm yeah. not a hophead. Like, I think I just go and
you're wheaty again, girl.
I am a wheaty girl. I'm hearty. That's the best like way I can describe
you
it.
You like them full flavours, girl.
I am. I'm a full flavoured girl. I love that. I'm a spoopy girl.
Me too.
I am,
this is why yeah. we're best.
I'm a spoopy bitch. Like, as my mug behind me, I'm a spoopy bitch. I love it. But yeah, well, that's that. I feel like for the bonus episode, I can ask you the rest of these.
Yeah.
I'll save the rest of these core ranges. But yeah, I think for me, the core range stuff is really, it has been for me the formative years because of the accessibility, the price points, the fact you get them in mixed packs in the US, and that just lends itself to it. So yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler, not spoiler, probably a drum roll. Dun, 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 dun. Fanfare. The bonus feed on Ko-fi, if you go chuck us some pennies, you can have our bonus feed, is available in audio now, Pete.
You did it. This is news to me.
You
didn't tell me. You said I'm working on it.
Yes. Yay. The audio feed is live.
Ruth, we got it in audio. Now we have to go out there and make that content.
Yeah. So you can listen and watch now.
Oh, there's more pressure now because now I feel like people listen a lot, so we actually have to work on getting the audio stuff.
I mean, they've got to sign up first. Sign up at Ko-fi. Link is in the show notes.
We have to get some good content out there so that they'll want to sign up. So we've got this. Yeah. So if you want to hear Jo guess the rest of these core ranges, see if I can stump her on about three or four more core ranges. We'll do another quick little blitz round of that. So yeah. Go check that out. There's already some good stuff on there. Hopefully in the coming months we can get some good stuff up there again. So even if you hold fire for a few months and then you go and blitz through all of them in audio format.
Then you get everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Right, we've got to go drink these beers. I'm going to go drink the rest of my Alaskan Amber, which, to be fair, I've almost drunk all of it.
Mine's probably more gone than yours is.
Yeah, actually it is. I've been savouring it.
Cause I ditched the hazy IPA, so I'm gonna take it back, actually, and say, yeah, I'm going to go Pils. I think I already stuck with it, but Pilsner Amber, probably icy. I'm going to go with you, but sort of slightly different, where hazy and icy bay are the same.
Okay.
So there we go. Yeah. I gave up on that one. Yeah, go drink the rest of them now.
All right, Tori, if people want to ask you about drinking PBR, where can I get hold of you?
Oh, God, I can talk to you a lot about drinking PBR.
Or about Smashed Pumpkin.
Yeah, it's probably more of a less embarrassing conversation. It's about the Smashed Pumpkin. You can go. I'm not ashamed of it. But Jo got called a hipster the other day, potentially, arguably.
I did.
If anything, I'm probably the hipster, rude. And I've got the pics to prove it. I've got the pics and the PBR to prove it.
I literally said it to somebody the other day. I was like, someone called me a hipster, and they were like, I don't think I've ever seen you wear a beanie. I was like, that's what I said.
It's probably more me, and that's what's really funny. Yeah. Yeah, you can come talk to me about PBR if you need to, if you want to hear about that cringe-worthy moment, or moments, or if you want to talk to me about Smashed Pumpkin, that's more preferable. You can come find me on Instagram at adventures_in_hoptimism, or you can email me at adventuresinhoptimism@gmail.com. I am working on some bit. I'm trying to be better at updating stuff, so my feed is Yay. Not just all podcast stuff. I'm not great at it at the moment because my work-life balance is not amazing, but I am getting there. I have plans, I've got ideas. I'm going on holiday in June. We're going on holiday, I think we can say, in May. We won't say in where May. But we're going on holiday.
Watch this space.
So hopefully there'll be some blog stuff worth shouting about soon, but we'll see what happens on that. But if you want to find out where we're going on holiday, make sure you're following us on the socials. So that is A Woman's Brew on Instagram, Facebook, X, but we're not going to really engage there because we don't really check it. But we still put it there just in case. And you can email us if there's anybody you want to hear us talk about, spill the tea on, I don't know, get hot takes for. You can email us at awomensbrewpodcast@gmail.com and make sure you are checking out our coffee because, as Joe said, big announcement, get the Claxton going. We have the audio only version. So thank you, Joe, we've got this. This is excellent. Happy days.
I did it.
Joe, if people want to congratulate you for doing that, where can they find you?
You find me on Instagram. I am Love Beer Learning. I'm also on Facebook. I'm also on X. I'm also on TikTok. I'm also on Pinterest. But I'm going to answer you on Instagram, so come find me there. Or you can come to my website, which is lovebeerlearning.co.uk. There is where you'll find the blog about Jaipur and lots of other fun things. Or you can email me, lovebeerlearning@gmail.com. Right, on that note,
cheers. Cheers.